Good morning. Welcome to What's Up Boone County. I appreciate you joining us this, let's see, this would be the second weekend in February. It's Super Bowl weekend. I hope you've got plans to do something fun. You may not care about the game. I don't really care who wins between Kansas City and whoever's playing. San Francisco. But I usually watch the game just to keep track of. It's always an entertaining event, even if I don't care who the winning team is. But I hope you've got plans to visit friends or to watch the game on TV, or maybe you don't, and that's fine too. But as you know, if you listen to this show regularly for the last 14 years, we talk to people who have an interesting hobby or job or avocation, or they work as a head of a not-for-profit, or they have some activity that they enjoy. And we occasionally have elected officials in to talk about how their office works and how they fit into the grand scheme of things, local, statewide, federal, political, and governmental offices. And we have this week on our show Debbie Ottinger, who is the Boone County Recorder. And we're going to talk about her job and what the role of the recorder is. And Debbie's had an interesting and a varied career because she's been active locally in local politics as a county Republican chairman. And we're not going to spend much time on that, but we are going to talk a little bit about what that entails. And we're going to talk about what goes on in the recorder's office, because it's one of the constitutional offices in our county government. So, Debbie, thanks for coming in and being our guest this week on What's Up Boone County.
Thank you, Kent, for allowing me to come in. Everyone enjoys your show, and I can't believe it's been 14 years.
It has.
You do a great job, we're appreciative of the information you always try to get out.
Thank you. I didn't think I'd do it for 14 years, and I'm on over 750 shows now, and I struggle sometimes to find guests. But I think some people do listen to the show, and occasionally I'll get comments from people they enjoyed this topic or that topic, but I've enjoyed it. I've met a lot of nice people. I've learned a lot of things. So let's talk about your family, first of all. Debbie, I know you grew up in this community and your mother just recently passed away. I'm sorry about that. Tell me about your family and what it consists of.
I'm very, very blessed to be here and my family. My husband is Ralph Burrows, and we do have different last names, not because I'm, you know, a women's liber or anything, but it's just easier on him when I, you know, have a headline. He doesn't get blamed for anything.
I get it.
And then between Ralph and I, we have four children. He has two sons that are twins, and they're one's in Colorado and one's in Southern Indiana.
And what does Ralph do for a living?
Ralph is a route director, driver director for Monarch Beverage.
Okay. A big beer distributor.
Yes. Yeah. I think it's EFT Transit now. They just got bought out, but yes, it's huge. It's all over. This company's all over the country. Yes. And so, but he only deals with Indiana. So
right.
He's very fortunate
Tell
for that.
Tell me about your children.
Well, my son Ryan works for the Lebanon Utilities. He's been there for several years and is a supervisor in the water department.
So well, the water aspect of utility world is what your son deals with.
Yes, it is. It is. And so he, he has several individuals underneath him, and he loves his job, and there's a lot of responsibility, but he takes it very serious, and I'm very proud of him. And, you know, there's been some, every time there's a change somewhere, you know, there's a challenge that comes with that, but he is fortunate to work with some really good people.
All right.
And
tell me about your daughter.
My daughter, Ashley, is a nurse, and she is now working from home for a private insurance company, and that's helped because they have three children. And then her husband is Jeff Nelson, who is a detective with the Lebanon Police Department.
Oh, is he really?
Yes.
Your husband is married to Jeff?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And my daughter is married to Jeff. Yes. And Ryan is engaged to Melissa Nelson, who is a nurse and works at Witham. And she doesn't do the on-hands nursing. She does a business aspect of that. Working with patients and helping them get things that they need. And so Ryan has two children. His son is a sophomore at Marion and on the football team there, and his daughter's a freshman at IU. And then Ashley's children are, her oldest son is a junior, her daughter is a freshman, and her youngest is a fourth grader.
So you've had kids going through the community
Absolutely.
And schools and events
We've been very
for a
fortunate.
Long time.
The basketball program, we've had three generations. I played, Ryan played, Ashley played, and then their children are playing.
We're good.
And so we've been, again, just very, very blessed. And so Ralph played also. His boys didn't live here, and so we're not able to do that. But I just think when you look back that how unique that is, and you just don't get to see that a lot. So we've been very fortunate.
Well, tell me about your employment history. We're going to spend some time with these various jobs, and let's start with the Republican County Chairman, because it really has nothing to do with your employment.
Right.
But you are the current chairman of the local Republican Party. How
Correct.
Long have you had that role?
I think we were trying to figure that out, Kent, and I don't really have the date. I think it's been at least between 10 and 15 years. Tom Easterday was the county chairman, and I was his vice, and when he retired, he suggested that I do this. And
so he's from Zionsville.
Right.
And Paul Green used to be the Republican chairman
years ago.
Years ago. Bob Nelson was in that role for
yes,
many years, as I remember.
Yes, and I was precinct committeeman then, but not an officer within the party.
So who picks the Republican or the Democrat county chairman?
The precinct committeeman.
So each county
they run
picks
every
their
four
own
year.
Chairman.
They do. And they run each precinct has a person that represents them. They run every 4 years. It's a non-paying position. It's not a conflict to be a precinct committeeman and an elected official. Unlike
you're a volunteer, basically.
Basically, you're a glorified volunteer. And the grassroots to the party, I mean, that's really how we've looked at it across the board. And so years ago, you used to take that position and go door to door and register voters and get the your people to come and work at the on election day. That is all changed now because you can register to vote pretty much anywhere, but
online,
especially online.
Makes it easier.
The Bureau of Motor
but
Vehicles.
But you still want to get the vote
you
out.
You need to be in touch with your area, and that's why each precinct has their own area, and those people around there, and so that's important when you're out
there. There was a time in my life where Boone County was not necessarily so Republican.
Right.
There was a significant percentage of Democrats. In fact, Lebanon, for many years back in the 70s, was pretty much run by Democrats.
It was. You're exactly right on that. And, people will say, and I disagree, but they'll say, there's no reason to run. It's always Republicans. We don't have a chance or whatever.
Well, it will turn around probably.
We look at that, and there's been a couple of offices. But here's my point. Don't be mad because we've worked so hard to become successful. And it's not because you sit back with your feet up eating bonbons. You literally have had people that have gone out back in the day and gone door to door and built those relationships. And then that continues on throughout the next generation. So our success is because we've worked hard. Never do we assume on any election that we're going to win everything and we don't have to worry about
well,
it ever.
This is an editorial comment from my standpoint. It's helped the local Republicans that the Democrats nationally have been crazy for a long time.
It certainly didn't hurt
us. But they're starting to actually do the same thing from the Republican
exactly.
side.
Exactly.
And that can circle back around. Both parties could find themselves out if they don't get back a little bit more to the middle. That's
I agree.
An editorial comment.
And
on
that's
my
why
part.
It's so important that we embrace our precinct committeemen, that we make sure that we're getting the message out. Don't blame us for what Washington's doing. Let's make sure we're taking care of Lebanon, Zionsville, Whitestown, Advance, Thorntown, even though they're not a Republican or Democrat when they run. But let's make sure that Boone County is taking care of what needs to be done here so that if everything goes crazy everywhere else, at least we're doing our best that locally.
That's all you can do.
Yes.
So tell me about the government positions and offices you've held over the last 20 years or so.
I started in the courthouse working for O.A. Kincaid when he was a part-time prosecutor and as a part-time office staff.
All right.
And now when I say that, not attorney-wise, but secretarial. And so then that individual that was in charge of the office left. And so then, O.A. was promoted to judge, or not promoted, he was appointed
elected.
As judge.
Well, he was appointed, then he got elected. Yeah.
So then Becky McClure became the prosecutor. So she asked me to be her office manager. And then some things changed for me, and the position for county clerk came up, and so I ran for that, and that was the first elected position I had.
And how long were you county clerk?
8 years. I was
two terms. All right, and then after that, what did you do?
I ran for county assessor. And remember that some of the offices have term limits, so you don't have an option to run again. If county clerk would have been unlimited terms, I probably would have stayed there as long as they would have had me, because it was such an interesting job. The county surveyor can run as many times
but
as you
want
to. But
you're not qualified for surveyor, are
oh,
you?
Oh, no, no. And wouldn't even
or assessor. You can't be an assessor without some training.
Yes, but you can get that training. Back then, you could get it your first year, which
okay.
I did.
All right.
You know, reached the level two that you had to have at that time.
So you were then, so you started out as clerk, mm-hmm. then you went to the county clerk, and then you became county assessor.
Uh-huh.
Which is charged with assessing real property.
Yes, exactly.
And then what did you do?
I was, because the cities and towns and county offices run at different times, I ran for the Lebanon clerk treasurer position. And so I was elected to that, so I had to leave in my seventh year. I gotta turn it off. I'm sorry.
All right, sorry.
I'm so sorry, everyone.
It's okay. Everybody's phone goes off.
There you go.
Don't worry about it.
There we are. It's off. So I left that position early, before my term was up, is what I need, and became the county
clerk treasurer. And is that job term limited?
It is not term limited.
So you were in that office how long?
I was in that office 8 years, but then I decided to run for mayor and wasn't successful.
All right.
And so then the next opportunity that opened up for me was the county treasurer's position. And so my experience from the clerk treasurer gave me what I needed to know there. And I served as that for 8 years.
8 years. So you've been mm-hmm. doing this for, I said 20. It's actually longer than
it's
that.
It's probably been a couple more. Yeah, I was, five when I started. So
yeah, I get it. So you were treasurer there in the county, and they mm-hmm. receive the tax dollars and mm-hmm. send out the tax bills and make sure the money gets distributed, I suppose, to whoever it's supposed mm-hmm. to go to. And then you moved on to the
county recorder's
county
position.
Which is where you are.
Yes.
How long have you been the county recorder?
I'm finishing my first term, and I've filed to run for my second term.
Okay, and is that a term limited position?
It is.
Okay, so tell me about the recorder's office. What does it do?
It's a lot more low key. You don't hear as much about that because what it does is it records all plats for any housing addition, anything coming in.
Subdivisions will have to be platted, and that's where the records are kept of
that. And that also includes surveys. Now, the one thing that's kind of confusing for people, they automatically think that if they own a home, there's been a survey done on that property all the time, every time a new home's built, and that's not necessarily true.
Well, it isn't usually the case, in fact.
There may be a survey done for that section of land, but each individual house will have the measurements of the lots, but not necessarily through a defined survey.
Well, one of the irony goals
homes,
the county surveyor, you mentioned the county surveyor mm-hmm. earlier, people think the county surveyor does surveying. He has nothing to do with it at all.
He's
basically a drainage expert.
Yes, and make sure that people are, doing what they're supposed to do legally on their land.
That's right.
To protect everyone. So we do that. We also record
deeds,
mortgages, mortgage releases. If you have a mechanics lien that's placed against you, that's on there. UCCs.
Easements,
if the cities or towns or any government agency, like you said, that will come in and say, okay, we're taking 10 more feet and you have an agreement, we record that. If that gets released, we record that. And
some of these official records primarily relating to land, but not entirely land or exclusively land. But there's got to be some place where you can go to find out how big is the lot, how many mm-hmm. acres does somebody own,
right?
Who owned it before somebody else, what's the history of the property. The recorder's office is in charge of keeping track of all that so that our transfer documents and our records
Absolutely.
Can be kept accurate.
Right.
We got to know if you're buying a house on North Grant Street, you want to know that the guy who's selling you the property actually owns the
property. Absolutely. And that's where that's the property fraud issue you see on TV. These companies are saying we'll protect you from property fraud, that type of thing. And that's where people really, really get nervous and start to panic a little bit, thinking that somebody could come in, get a deed to the property, redefine it, and put it in somebody's name, sell it, and all of a sudden somebody shows up at your door and says, I own this house.
Yeah, well, and we'll talk about that in the next segment about how people can protect themselves. So how many people work in the recorder's office?
We have 4 full-time paid positions and 2 part-time.
All right, and over time, you know, if you've ever been, you've certainly been there, and I've been there, been back in the back of the recorder's office. Back in the day, they had these big books, these heavy bound books, where they would write in every deed, every lien, every easement, all sorts of records in these books that they would keep. And then they would have to find the deed by book and page number. Mm-hmm. Now, those days have changed, but back in the early years, going back into the early 1900s and before, that's where the records were kept.
That's exactly
now, how's
right.
it done today?
Today, the mortgage would come in and we scan it in. The original will go back to the company, or the deed goes back to the homeowner. And then we have that in the system. And then if you want to come in and go to our public terminals, all you have to do is put a name in. And then that will pull up everything that you have, deed, mortgages, or whatever.
And if there'd be a survey or a plat for your lot.
That is.
If you live in a subdivision, it's like Chadwick Village or Brendanwood in Lebanon.
Yes.
And you bought a lot, you can find the plat that shows how big your lot is and the boundaries and all that sort of thing.
And those plats are, the reason I say this is because we are not digitized at this point. That is a goal that we have. But they're 18 by 24. So what happens, we scan them in the system. So again, you can come in and look at the paper if you need to. And then when you need a copy, we just simply print it out for you on that on our big wide printer. But you can, you know, go through and look at things in here. Now, you can't go online and look at the plats, but you can get your information on the recording number.
There's a lot of information that's now online through our GIS system.
Yes, there is.
But the plats are not.
The plats are not
online yet.
But the information on the recording number, the book and page, all of that is online for you to look at.
All right. Well, we're going to continue our conversation with Boone County Recorder Debbie Ottinger about the operations of the recorder's office and some of the new things they're doing to try to modernize their record keeping and protect our local property owners after we take a moment to hear from our sponsors. All right, we're back with What's Up Boone County this second weekend in February 2024, talking to Boone County Auditor, Boone County Recorder Debbie Ottinger, and her finishing up her first term as in that elected role. It's a constitutional office, meaning that your job is mandated by the Indiana Constitution. We've got to have, what are the constitutional offices, would you think, in Boone County right now?
The auditor, treasurer, clerk,
recorder.
The recorder.
Surveyor?
I believe the surveyor is.
Sheriff?
I believe the sheriff is. And Kent, there's one thing dictates whether you have term limits or if you don't, and it is if it's the constitutional of the state of Indiana or by the legislature. And I'm thinking, to be honest with you, I believe the surveyor and the sheriff are defined under the legislature.
But they're term limited. The sheriff is, but not the surveyor.
I apologize. The surveyor is not. You're right.
It's the Kenny surveyor held that office for 25 years.
Yes, he did. A little bit over 25.
So the judges are not term limited.
No.
The sheriff is, however.
Yes.
Unless you're Ern Hudson.
Right.
And then you'd have Ern serve two terms. Then his wife would serve a term, and then Ern would get lucky.
There
again.
You go. Well, listen, everybody loved the Hudson, so.
Yeah, well, they were good people, and
there
I knew
go.
Them well. All right, so that's how that works. So tell me about how people can protect themselves. You know, you see on TV all the time these ads where people they're selling some service to guarantee you some level of protection. Well, how's your office dealing with some of this stuff?
Well, the good news is, first I will tell you, do not feel like you have to pay to be protected. I'm not saying that these are scams by any means, but there's now a service available. We use, it's called DoxPop, and it sounds kind of funny, but
DoxPop.
Yes. And that's where you can go online, doxpop.com, and look up information. And that's what a lot of companies use, title companies and stuff. Like they'll go in and it's like, if I go in for a mortgage, they're going to look up my property information and they pay a fee to do that. You get 6 free searches and then you pay a fee. Well, this company we use, and so all of our information is available to them. Well, what they are offering now, it's called Property Watch. And I will give you the site to go to. It's watch.doxpop.com. And you go there, you will put your name in, it will pull up the property that you own, you will mark what you want notice of if anything happens. And so, for instance, you know, Ralph and I have moved 3 times, so it's going to show all of our properties, but I just simply marked where we currently live. And then if any type of action is taken, if any document has been recorded under that or under my name or under that property, you will receive an alert. Now, that will happen even if you go and get a new loan or you refinance your home.
Because that's a new file.
So that's good. You're going to know that happened, but then you're also going to know you did that. If it's not something that you are aware of, then you will contact them and you will take the action needed to protect yourself. This will not, let me make it clear, prevent people from trying to do fraud against your property, but it will alert you immediately so that you have an opportunity to get it stopped.
Well, this makes it a lot harder for people to get away with it.
Absolutely.
They might try it, but yes, you're going to be aware of it, and you could jump in on there before somebody's passed away and you find out. You hear these horror stories. People die and they find out the house got sold years ago.
Yes, somehow, exactly.
A lot of times I think these things are exaggerated, but I think that it is theoretically possible. Somebody could get flimflam.
It could. And again, we're not trying to panic anyone. That information's out there. We all know that things change daily with people who, you know, are out to mistreat you or out to cheat you. They whatever works for them, if that they get caught, they try something different. So this is just a line of protection notification so that if anything is going on, you'll be notified and immediately then you will be able to take action to get anything stopped. You know, you will call the bank, whoever, whatever mortgage company, whatever it is.
Well, and one of the things the recorder's office tries to do is help keep track of the property records in our county so that if a man and his wife own a house and the man passes away and the property was titled in the name of the man and the wife and the man dies and now the wife wants to go to sell the property, you know, the man can't sign the deed, he's gone.
Right.
But we need to make it clear that he passed away so that his name gets taken off the title. A lot of people don't do that.
No.
For whatever reason, sentimentality or whatever.
Yep.
And then when somebody dies, they both die. And then it's not an insurmountable problem, but it requires some work to be done.
It does.
To explain why John and Mary Smith, who hold title to this house on North Grant Street, they're both dead, and who's going to convey title?
That's exactly right.
There may or may not have been an estate opened for one of them. So
and the family may not be local.
Well, they may not.
And when they come in to try to get everything taken care of, they're going to see these obstacles.
They find out they did never open an estate,
right,
and they have to go through some hoops in order to be able to sell the house to a new owner that wants to pay money for the house, but they got to be making sure they're getting good, clear title.
Right. One thing too, Kent, and people get frustrated with us when they come in. We're very particular on when the documents come in. We have some pretty tough requirements on them, and one of them is that the legal has to be verbatim on the, you know, if there's a change on the document. So if you've got a warranty deed and you're making a quit claim deed on that, we want that to be the exact definition that was on the original deed.
And these things do get screwed up.
They
over
do
time.
And if they do get screwed up and we go ahead and record it without questioning it or trying to help people understand it, then if something happens and you want to sell it and somebody else comes in and that deed's not correct, that stops everything. People yeah. will not. And again, when you're looking at fraud issues, that just opens the door for it to become easier when things are not in line.
Well, there's all sorts of legal requirements now that have to be satisfied. You know, because these documents are public record now, they can't have their Social Security number on there.
And you have to sign a statement, as you know. You have to sign a statement that says that you've done everything possible
to keep that sort of private information off of these documents. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the old documents, the Social Security number was just right on there. It was right on the form.
Right on the form.
And so they've tried to get rid of that. And there has to be some certifications as who prepared the document.
Yes, and that's, I don't think people think about that, but that's a great thing to have, because what I tell people is you want this document to protect everyone involved, and you want it to stand on its own 10 years from now when there's no one there to defend it. So let's pretend like you prepared a document, your name's on it, and there's something that people are like, we don't know who to go to, we don't know who to talk to about it. You might be a source that would help them understand.
Or find out, find the records to make sure it was done correctly.
That's exactly right.
So what do you think is going to happen over the next 10 or 15 years in the recorder's office? Is it still going to exist 15 years from now, do you think?
I think you've got to have recorded land issues, recorded, recorded documents, mortgages, deeds, or whatever, because the assessor has to know that who the property owner is in order to assess it. And
they got to know what property that you own, and who, exactly how many acres.
Exactly,
it is.
So they can assess it, and then the treasurer's office would collect the taxes. It's all in the auditor's office, is the one that makes sure that all the information's right that's going out on the taxes. Then they send the information to the state to get the tax rate, to get, everything that we need. This is, people think, why do I have to run around to so many places? Each office, assessor, treasurer, recorder, and auditor, have separate job descriptions, and the law requires separate so that everybody's kind of a checkpoint for everyone else. If the recorder doesn't do the job that needs to be done, the assessor can't get the information that they need on everything. The auditor can't have all of the information they need, because our offices work back and forth. The auditor, if you're making a change on land, they have to see it before you record it with me. So they've got the right information. The treasurer has to do the collection. If all of that is not done correctly,
it's got to be coordinated.
It does. And it's a protection that you've got different people looking at everything. It's not one person in control of all of it and would be able to, manipulate something and cheat somebody. So it's a pain if you come in and have to go to all the offices, but trust me, it's going to really be a blessing.
Lawyers and realtors and surveyors and people who deal in the system, they pretty much are comfortable with it. They understand it. But if you're trying to do it on your own, it'd be a hard thing.
It is.
To make sense of.
And I think our current elected officials are very good about trying to help people as much as possible to understand, here's where you need to go, this is what you need to do. We can't give legal advice. People will say, what do you think? Can you tell me what to put on a quit claim deed? No, I can't.
You're a paper. You're a clerical employee. You're there to process the paperwork, not to determine.
Not to create it, yes.
Not what the legal effects are.
Exactly.
All right, Debbie, we're out of time. I appreciate you coming in and talking about your role in our county government. And a little bit of your interest in the Republican Party side of things, and the answer would be the same whether you're a Republican chairman or Democrat chairman or the Libertarian Party chairman or whatever. So I appreciate your time today, and look forward to seeing you down the road.
Well, and I want to say thank you to you. This show is really a good service to our community. You do a great job, and I just want to thank you for
waiting for my first paycheck for 14 years, but it's apparently not coming.
Really? So it's all volunteer.
It's all
That's
volunteer.
Good to know. Nobody's going to want your job.
That's
so.
Right. All right. I appreciate you all joining this week on What's Up Boone County. Enjoy the Super Bowl. Enjoy Valentine's Day next week. And Debbie's got one other thing.
If you have any questions on the Property Watch issue or for to get online or need help with it, please call our office at 765-482-3070, and we'll be glad to help you.
All right, Debbie, thanks for the information. We'll see you next week on What's Up Boone County.